Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
That's him.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the show. Larry, the weather getting crazy here in New York. It's cold. It's not cold, no. But I mean cooler. Then it gets hot again like a bitch, like today. And it's... We thought fall was here last week.
Well, you don't have to wait much longer.
Well, yesterday was the first day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know, but I saw the forecast and by next week in the 60s and it's going to start staying there. So
nice.
And that's what I like.
Because fat guys like me just can't take the heat.
Yeah. This guy can take the heat.
Just, oh my God. Anyway, all right. So, as any good viewer of The Riot knows, now is not the time to discuss politics. Now is not the time to discuss the human condition. Now is the time for... Bing, bing. All right. Please visit us at thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all the latest riotous needs you may have. Check out past episodes of the show, synopses of every episode, and you can follow our Twitter and Facebook feeds from there. But more importantly, it is the source of all things riot, Larry.
Yes. And before you know it... We're going to sneak in a few more Big Fat John, five questions with Big
Fat
John.
We'll try to do that. We're just trying to line up guests.
Before election day, we're just trying to...
We're trying to line up some guests.
Yeah, they got scared after El Chapo showed up.
Well, you know, let's tear back the fourth wall. We've been too fucking lazy to write any five-question scripts, Larry.
Yes. Well, too busy.
Too busy, too lazy.
I'm not lazy.
Whatever the case may be, we just haven't gotten around to writing any new scripts. We did about the first 10 or so. We're going to do some more, we promise you. So keep an eye out for that. But anyway, all right, once you've gone to thatriotshow.com, checked out the show, make sure you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. You can become a fan of The Riot there, join the hundreds of fans there. I won't lie and say it's thousands. It's hundreds on Facebook. We want to get that number up. After you join us on Facebook, join us where the real fun begins late after dark. Naughty, naughty. Say no more. On Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow, twitter.com/thatriotshow, where we do indeed have thousands of followers, including, I think his name is Dan Delaney.
Okay.
He is the Libertarian candidate for the 8th Congressional District in New Jersey, Larry.
He's my hero.
He's a fan of The Riot, watches the show, so Congressman Delaney, on that virtue alone, gets our endorsement.
Well, you called him Congressman. Is he?
No, he's running for
running
Congress.
For
yeah, he's
okay.
Running for Congress in New Jersey,
yeah.
Which, you know, there's plenty of Libertarians that you don't hear about, but let's, you know, throw a little shout out his way. So, you know, definitely check us out on Twitter. And if you're still into the podcast, you haven't come around to enjoying these faces, as it were, go ahead and just follow us up on the podcast platforms. Tons of them that we are on, just about everyone you can think of. Phil, hit the roll of podcast, please. Scrollo Podcasts. You can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Spreaker, Podomatic, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, Intune?
Intune, Spreaker.
I've lost. Anything you can think of. Just right here. Just check it out. Yeah, it just scrolled by us. So definitely check us out there. If you think there's one we're not on and you're somehow listening or watching this, then please let us know, and we'll get our asses on that platform. Okay, Larry, let's start off. Typically, we'd be railing about Drum for Clinton at this point, but let's consider starting out with something else. This past week, another one that was not a good one in terms of civil rights violations by the cops. Or I should say individual liberty by the cops, potentially. So, Larry, the first shooting of the week, and I hate to phrase it like that, in Tulsa, what was his name? Mr. Shepard, was it?
No, Mr. Crutcher.
Mr. Crutcher.
Terrence Crutcher.
Terrence Crutcher in Tulsa. And again, it's disturbing when you see these videos because, you know, at least my first inclination is to be pro-police, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the police state. I don't necessarily assume all cops are innocent until proven guilty. But typically, you know, you kind of accept that it's a difficult job, a difficult profession. Yeah. But at the same time, it's a profession. It's not a divine right. It's a profession. And if you can't do the job, if you're not either mentally or physically capable of doing it, you shouldn't be doing it. You are getting paid to do a job. And Larry, in this case, I think a clear-cut case of police misconduct. Someone being shot, essentially in the back, I think, when you look at the video. Not a clear threat to anyone. And the officer that shot him is, you know, she's on, she's been charged with manslaughter, first-degree manslaughter. Which I think is a gift. It might be murder. I mean, a degree of murder, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Larry, you saw the video. I know people have noticed. They've commented to me that I've been dour on the police the last couple of years, that I've all of a sudden turned from Mr. Law and Order to this. But you know what? Yeah, look, when the facts change, so does my opinion. And the facts right now are that there's a lot of video and there's a lot of evidence, Larry,
yeah,
that points to a lot of police misconduct in various areas. Not all police departments, certainly not all police officers. But this blue wall of silence that exists around clear misconduct. Look, before I get off on my high horse here, on my soapbox, Larry, what did you think of that shooting?
Okay,
when you saw
after watching it, you can pretty much only conclude that she overreacted. She got scared of him. I don't know what he did to, you know, I mean, other than being large and black, but she definitely just looked like she panicked, and she knocked out a couple of rounds, and before you know it, the man was down and he's dead. And look, now she's paying a very serious price for it. And, you know, and I tend to be very ridiculously pro-police, but I have to admit that this just looks terrible. And of course, when you add it to all the other unfortunate events, the one in Charlotte going on right now, previous ones with Mr. Garner, and you know, you start to worry about, you know, I've always told people there's a problem with minorities, especially like urban areas, like, you know, they're committing too much violent crime and they're getting caught up with police in the system. You have to realize, like, look, the police, you know, if you're doing this job, if you keep running into, like, the same person or the same type of person, like, you're going to start making certain conclusions. You know, it's a very tough job. You become very cynical. You become very jaded. You come to expect certain things. Now, that's unfortunate, but I think that's reality. I tend to always, you know, give the police every benefit of the doubt, but this shooting was just terrible. And I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, you know, she just panicked and started reeling off shots. But look, nobody can say that, you know, one of the things that protesters and a lot of people like BLM and these movements have been saying is, you know, the police never get charged with anything. They never even like so much as lose their jobs. They always get cleared. Well, you can't say that anymore. Because this
say it in this case.
Right. You can see that there's going to be a change in these kind of things. In this case,
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's turning. I think the idea that, you know, we have to give them a pass no matter what. But look, first degree manslaughter, that's still a very serious charge. And we'll see where it goes. But look, I actually agree with all this. I actually do. I mean, look, these things have to be, this is how they should be handled. You have the footage, there was an investigation. She's being charged. And now it's going to be properly adjudicated. That's my view.
Right.
My
so yeah, she deserves her day in court, just like anybody else. But and before I go on to the next one, let's talk about what's going on in Charlotte.
Okay.
There, the case not so clear, to be honest. Again, I try to look at these things and be fair to all parties involved. And we just literally right before the cameras went on for this episode, we just saw the cell phone footage that was released.
Yeah.
The gentleman's name was what? Kenneth something Scott, right?
Yeah, Kenneth Scott. Yeah.
Kenneth Scott.
James Scott.
Or something like that. Kenneth Scott in Charlotte. Now, his wife, when they got pulled over by the cops, I guess, this gentleman's wife from a distance was recording the whole thing on her cell phone. And by the way, black people, learn to hold your camera sideways when you take this film. Holding it like this sucks. Can we just get used to turning it?
Yeah.
So
we're
holding
it still.
So we could get a better view of things. But,
like this.
Yeah, exactly. but like all joking aside, she recorded the whole thing. And look, there's something going on there, all right? The cops very clearly are yelling, put the gun down, step away from the car. She kept screaming at them, he has no gun, he has no gun, he has traumatic brain injury, TBI, he just took his medicine.
Right, he's not going to do anything.
He's not going to do anything, he doesn't have a gun. He doesn't have a gun. So as this action is unfolding in real time, this is not like something that's post the event,
right,
where people got together and got their story together. This is live, and she had it on video, and basically, who do you believe? The footage itself is unclear. You see the guy. You see him get shot. You can hear the bullets ring out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty explicit video in that sense. But did he have a gun? The cops say they found a weapon with his fingerprints on it.
Fully loaded.
So I don't know. But then again,
but
North Carolina is an open carry state.
Right.
So. Did they check to see if he had his license? You know, was it a legally owned gun? I don't know.
The family says he had a book in his hand.
And so you know, look, I just don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know. Now, I've heard people say things like, well, if a cop gives you an order, you should just obey it. Well, here's the problem with that. That might be good advice to avoid getting shot, to be honest with you.
Well, it is.
Right? But it's horrible advice for our civil liberties. Not to get too philosophical, but if we give the cops clear authority over us, the second they say anything, justified or not, we're supposed to comply? Well, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Honestly, go fuck yourself. That's the first thing. The second thing is, let's say this guy did have TBI, traumatic brain injury, and he was unable to comply. Does that mean he automatically deserves to get shot? Like, cops also have to be trained to understand these things. In Michigan, this week, there was a court case being held that just proceeded against two cops. Because a year ago, they ran across an autistic man who didn't understand what comply means. And they body slammed him. And then because of the body slam, he got a seizure. And while he was seizing, the cops continued to beat on him because they said he did not comply with them. Now, what kind of morons don't realize when a seizure is occurring, Larry?
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you could argue maybe they're the bad apples in the bunch. Absolutely. I'm not saying all cops are bad. But, and then who was that person, that poor guy, not Mr. Gardner, but the guy who was shot in New Orleans, where the film very clearly shows him being shot point blank.
Yeah.
Still not very clear if there was a present danger there either, okay? So, Larry's absolutely right. Where we have the footage, like in Tulsa, absolutely, they're getting charged. They should be charged. They get their day in court. If there's any justice, they'll be convicted. But the truth of the matter is, what has to start happening is that juries have to start understanding that you don't automatically believe cops. You can't. You can't assume that anymore. Yeah. You can't assume that cops are going to do the right thing. We have it on footage where they don't think, there was a Reason magazine posted something this week of Connecticut state troopers who were just pissed at a hippie protester who was filming them. So there was this guy in Connecticut who was filming the DUI stop. So he went a couple, like a mile before it, and was warning people, hey, there's a DUI spot up ahead. You know, don't go there. By the way, perfectly legal. Supreme Court has said he has every right to do that. He has every right to videotape anything that happens in public. All rights that have been established. And these cops stopped. They tried to rough him up a little bit, not physically, but, you know, intimidate him. Mm-hmm. And they took his camera, except these dopes didn't turn it off. So they took the camera and they put it on the hood of the squad car.
Right.
But the thing was still rolling. And you saw three cops as after they detained this guy, and he was asking for his rights, what was he being detained for, whatever. And these state troopers, not just run-of-the-mill cops, state troopers, who are supposed to be a cut above the local PDs, were all like, okay, what can we trump up on him? What do you think will stick?
Yeah.
And this is clearly caught on video, you know? So now I have to tell you, if I ever get called for jury duty again and there's a cop involved, I don't think that I could be impartial. Because right now, unless there's video to the contrary, I have to treat everything as 50-50. I can't automatically say, well, the cop tends to be right. Like when I was younger, I would say the cop tended to be right. But you know what? And again, maybe it's not a racial thing. Maybe it's a poverty thing. Maybe it's a, like Larry said, you've been on the job for 10 years. You've kind of seen everything a couple of times and you become jaded. But I can't ignore this anymore, Larry. And like when the facts change, you have to change.
I know what you mean. I've been on jury duty where people have said, I had one or two people who said, I always remember the guy goes, I always believe the cops. Everybody else is just fucking lying. Then I had, I remember one lady, rather heavy set black lady, she goes, I don't believe the cops ever. She goes, they're all up to no good and blah, blah, and like they have to be dismissed. You know, the moment you admit that you have that bias one way or the other, because they'll ask you, yeah, but can you do it impartially? And the moment you say that you won't, you're out. Anything that breaks that you can't look at things and weigh things impartially, you're out. I mean, which includes one woman who told the judge, I told that one time, she goes, well, I'm not going to listen. She told the judge, because I'm not going to listen to you over Jesus.
Which, by the way, I used to get out of jury duty every time.
Yeah. So, I understand what you mean, but, you know, I don't want to be lost in all this. Like, for instance, there was a stabbing in the malls in Minnesota, and another Arab guy yelling, Allah, Allah, and he got killed by a cop. And, you know, thank God he was there, or a security guard, sorry. Thank God he was there with a firearm to put this asshole down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, it's you know what it is? It's going to continue to be that. It's going to continue to be kind of a mixed bag, but see, like, that story just gets whisked away, like, very quickly.
Well, even
unfortunately, these things are magnified by the amount of protesters who are out there and who I don't support. But, I mean, you can protest. But I don't think going out there and, like, yelling and screaming at the cops or turning over a cop car, I don't think that's going to accomplish anything.
Let me see two things.
Now, I know that people say that's because a lot of them are they're black or they're poor or they're these jerk-off white college students and they got nothing better to do. But like even the other day I was watching MSNBC and they had three black guests on and every one of them said, look, you have to understand because there's a lot of cursing going on. They said, look, people are poor, they're frustrated, they don't know how to express themselves. So they take to the streets and they yell and they curse and they throw some bottles at the cops. And like,
I get that part, but here's where I think things have to change. So first of all, there's a difference between protesting and rioting. Protesting's okay, rioting is not.
Right, rioting and looting.
And this is where both sides, so last week, if you watched the show last week, and I'm assuming you did, you heard me say that I despise the suspension of logic, Larry,
yeah,
in order to support your candidate, either side. And the same thing kind of applies in this situation. So you have the, whether it's BLM or other protesters, don't pretend that every cop shooting was a bad shoot. Because then you just make yourselves look like assholes. Let go of the Michael Brown thing, okay?
Yeah.
He did not. He was not shot with his hands up for no reason. It's been proven beyond a reasonable doubt by forensics he was trying to attack a cop.
Yeah.
And the cop shot him in self-defense, okay?
He actually never had his hands up.
Right.
His friend who made that up, he admitted that the hands up don't shoot. It's in the New York Times. They did an interview. He admitted he just made that up.
So when you're on that side of the argument,
right,
you have to understand not everything is a racially motivated bad cop shoot. And the sooner you can admit that, the sooner, and again, much like in politics, much like in anything else, the sooner you can admit to yourself and say, all right, Eric Gardner was killed unjustly.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Michael Brown justifiably shot,
right.
Okay? If you could separate the two, now you've gained a lot of credibility, quite honestly.
Now you've got something.
If you're the cops, this blue wall of silence shit has got to stop. It's got to stop. There is no logical reason.
But are they doing it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Still?
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that it still goes on. You see it in some of these tapes. Like, what was it? There was another shooting, I forget which, but it was one of the southern states. Again, caught on film without them knowing, they shot a black guy in the back who was running away, but he was not, like, brandishing a gun.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like a fat sheriff didn't feel like chasing him, so he shot him in the back. And then when he caught up to him, he planted a gun on him. And it was on video. He took the gun out of his sock, you know, like a movie, and just put it in his hand. Now, thank God somebody caught that on film, you know what I mean? So does it happen?
Yes.
Just like those three-state Connecticut troopers that I just mentioned.
I know, but the blue wall of silence means all other cops are just shutting up and not
turning. For the most part, yeah.
I know, but that your example doesn't address that. It's just another bad shooting.
No, but I mean, the bad shooting.
Are you saying that you still think that they're all just there dummying up the cover for the...
No. Well, here's what I think. I think where there is an opportunity, and let's face it, to be a rat, because that's what it is, they don't take it. Like, whether it's corruption, whether it's excessive force or anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think that woman's partner in Tulsa was the first one to come up and say it was a bad shoot? Or did he keep his mouth shut?
Oh, I don't know. He probably kept his mouth shut.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Cops have to be able to, for lack of a better term, rat each other out without feeling like they're scum. In other words, the reason...
You have to be able to be a whistleblower
to
some extent.
The fucking,
thinking that the whole department's
going to
come down on
The you. Way the mafia, the way gangs stay strong is they put across this culture of snitches get stitches and, you know, bitches don't whine and shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And actually, that's what helps enable their criminal enterprises. Nobody is willing to testify against anybody else. The same thing has to go for cops. So if you're a cop... Or if you're someone who's trying to figure out how to get this cop culture over the hump and get people to trust them again, you have to start calling out your brothers in arms
when
who are
somebody
not
fucks
performing.
Up, you're going to have to be able to point the finger at them. The only thing which I would point out is, I don't know if it's so prevalent like it used to be. I mean, it used to be like a real, like, you know, back in the 70s, they would never, ever say anything. They'd all get their stories in line. I mean, they would never badmouth another cop. But I have to tell you, the downside of these shootings is now look at all the protests. Look how they're being attacked. Last night I was channel clicking Fox, MSNBC, CNN, blah, 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 blah. And each one of them had just guessed at the guest talking about the police and the community, the police and the community. You have to realize that the cops feel like everyone's turning on them. And everybody, that blue wall is going to come back stronger than ever and bigger than ever, because they're going to feel like they're, you know, they're like being surrounded and the world's coming down on them.
Yeah, but they have
not that it's right, but it's inevitable that they're just going to close ranks even more.
But the truth of the matter is, right now their ranks are pretty closed, and this type of reaction is justified for the most part. It's justified. Again, coming from somebody who was always a cop supporter, I still am. I still support cops. There's good cops that need support out there. There's good police forces out there that need support. I have no problem with that. But I mean, suspension of logic. you see these tapes, even the body cams. Some of these cops are so fucking arrogant, you hear them on their own body cam saying, I don't give a shit if I'm being recorded. Yeah. I know what the law is. And then they're found to be completely wrong.
Yeah.
Okay? So at first I was, well, are these body cams a good or a bad thing? Guess what? I'm pro body cam now.
No, they're definitely a good thing. But and it even shows the flip side.
Yeah.
How about that guy, that cop in Minnesota? He pulled some guy over who was speeding like crazy. And as soon as he walked up to the window, the guy stuck a gun out the window and started shooting at him. And like hit him in the shoulder, and then he actually went to the car and like chased him some more, being shot. It was like the craziest thing. It's, you know what it is though. I'm afraid that like Monday, there's going to be a lot of with the debate coming up between Hillary and Trump. I think there's going to be a problem. They're going to be asked about it, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
And you know, this is something that to me is going to have to be solved on the community level, local level. You know, religious leaders, civic leaders are going to have to get together with the police, and they're going to have to do a simply, they're simply, I know that there are people already doing this, and it's tough work, it's real yeoman's work, I mean, and I respect it, but this is going to require really a different, like a real all-out, but it has to be done on the local level. If you start looking to the federal government to solve this problem, and I guarantee you both of these candidates are going to have federal solutions to all this.
Oh, of course.
And that is not the way to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to be able, like Larry said, or like Gary Johnson would do. You need to just throw this back to the state level. There's no need for militarization of the police. There's no need for the FBI. Mm. There's no need for this and that. But it is something to be concerned about. I mean, I've been worried about this for a long time. Like I said, I have a son who couldn't comply if he tried. If he was jaywalking and a cop told him to comply, he would not be able to. He just doesn't understand what that means. Do I have to worry about him getting shot because he wouldn't stop walking away from a cop? Okay? It's one of my biggest nightmares. So, what do? We, you know, you try to not leave him alone, whatever, Larry, right?
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, and I can see people out there saying, well, they would never shoot a mentally retarded person. They would never shoot an autistic kid. They would never shoot someone who was deaf or blind and couldn't. Guess what? It's happened.
Yeah, that has happened. It's very rare, but it happens.
But it happens, yeah. Okay? And it'll happen more if these cops feel they're threatened. Yet the reason they feel threatened is because they haven't been held accountable for these bad shootings.
Right.
It's like a catch-22. Okay? Look, when I was a kid, I remember when we still had beat cops, Larry. You know, the big. And in New York, and like in Boston, and in a lot of other eastern urban areas, big Irish cops, like 6'5", 6'6", like 250, 260, you know, walking up and down the block, swinging their batons or their nightsticks.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I remember one time, I think I stole something from the local candy store. I must have been like 6 or 7, you know. Like one of those, like you take the extra piece of candy or whatever from the jar.
26 or 27.
Yeah, 26 or 27. And I just remember, like, thinking I was running as fast as I can, Larry, and Officer McMick, whatever his name was, just grabbing me literally by the scruff of the neck and just holding me there like this, you know? And I'm, like, you know, trying to get away, and he's just holding me there, and he's like, oh, someone for jail, huh? You know, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to jail, you know? Like, I have to wonder, like, if I was black or Latino, would I have, not that maybe being shot, but then again, there's been kids, 6 or 7, who have been shot. We've seen it. We've heard the stories. Who was it? Tamir Rice? Whatever his name was, kid's name was, unfortunately, who got shot. What happened between then and now?
Yeah.
I mean, people got tuned up. Let's be honest. People got tuned up by cops.
People got the rubber hose.
Yeah, the rubber hose, or you know,
some of them are assholes, but the cops aren't supposed to be doing it anyway.
Right.
So I mean that's part of the problem. You know, there's a movie with that actor Michael B. Jordan. He made about Fruitvale Station.
Oh yeah.
And it's the story about Oscar Grant, and he got killed by a police officer. He was being a kind of an obnoxious jerk, but there was no reason to shoot him. And the guy shoots him. I mean, if this is accurate, they shot him in the back where he was lying on the ground with handcuffs on, just because he was being belligerent. I mean, this is crazy. So, like, I understand the concerns here. But I am always going to point out that this is an incredibly difficult job, and they have split seconds sometimes to make decisions, but there does seem to be an inordinate amount of shootings. Unfortunately, they've become as common as terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, what happened in Charlotte now has completely blown out of the water this asshole who put bombs on 23rd Street, 27th Street here in Manhattan. One day you're hearing about this guy and his pressure cooker bombs, and now this is it.
Did we talk about that really?
I don't even know if we got time to talk about
that. No, I think it happened after the show, so let's quickly touch on that.
Yeah.
Here in New York, they found two pressure cooker bombs. One went off on, if you're local to New York, 23rd Street and Broadway, 6th Avenue?
6th Avenue,
yeah. Avenue of the Americas, which tends to be a pretty heavily gay neighborhood, I would say.
Yeah.
And they found a second one on 27th Street. So, fortunately, nobody was killed, right? A couple of people injured, but nobody killed. It caused a hell of a traffic problem in New York because they had to shut down a pretty major thoroughfare for the weekend.
A little strange that he picked that. I mean, maybe because he thought he was out of the way and that he wouldn't be caught, on camera. But I have to tell you, on a Saturday night, actually not very crowded areas, especially 27th Street.
Yeah.
These are blocks that are somewhat industrial. Like between 6th and 5th Avenue, if you live in the city, you know, it's like the back of like a lot of buildings, warehouses, get deliveries. A lot of little stores on them. Not totally residential.
But to be honest with you, I thought that it might have been an anti-gay
thing. Yeah. But it turns out it's not. He was leaving somewhere.
Typical savage. Who's been radicalized.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing here, again, that we have to point out, the rush of everyone, including our fucking communist mayor, Bill de Blasio, to make sure that the word terrorism was not mentioned initially. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
Went out of his way.
I mean, you find a pressure cooker bomb. What else the fuck is it? What is it, in your opinion, if it's not some form of terrorism?
But you know what's awful? Like, you have de Blasio, and you can see him struggling not to say
it.
Because typical far left-wing asshole, he's got to make sure he doesn't say it because he's afraid everyone's going to assume Muslim. And then if they assume Muslim, it's hate. And that all the ignorant idiots are going to grab their pitchforks and go out and find some Muslims to kill, which, of course, never happens. And never does. But the knee-jerk reaction of liberals is, oh, my God, like everyone's a Klansman except us.
Right.
So we're not going to say bomb or point out that his name turned out to be Allah Gaka Muhammad Dickhead.
Yeah.
So they're not going to mention that. They're not going to mention, you know, they tried to downplay that he's an Afghani who became a U.S. resident. Now, what's a little scary is that his father has been telling, apparently, the FBI for 2 years that he's in trouble, and apparently they didn't do very much follow-up on him.
Now, that's fucked up.
Now, that's fucked up, too.
The kid's father's telling you he's being radicalized.
Yeah, he's been telling them, apparently, for 2 years he's trouble. But my problem is this. My concern is this. First, you get de Blasio's reaction. Then, like, he just hears what happened, and Trump goes out, well, it's a bomb, and a bomb went off, and a bomb, like on the other stupid extreme, showing no measured approach to anything without even knowing the facts. I hate to agree with Hillary Clinton, but when she was first asked, she just said, look, we're gathering facts, that's actually the responsible thing.
Right.
Even if you know already that more than likely it's going to turn out to be another fucking Muslim asshole who's upset with the United States, even if you're thinking that ahead of time, before the police and the FBI finish their investigation and tell you what that is, wait a couple of hours. That's all it takes. Wait a day and let them tell you that. Instead, he goes out, well, it's a bomb. You know it's a bomb. And he's talking about it. At least she'd said what I am going to give her a compliment. In my opinion, she said the right thing. They're investigating it. They're collecting it. Let's wait till we find out everything and then put it out there. So then they caught him in Linden, New Jersey, sleeping in a doorway. And he shot a cop. Maybe, see, here's where the cops are great. Shot some fucking cop. Thank God he was wearing his bulletproof vest. And then they got off a couple of shots and they wounded him. But they didn't kill him. Took him to the hospital. Let him his fucking rights. This is how it's supposed to go down. But you know what? We don't need, I'm going to avoid it no matter what because everyone's a racist.
Right.
And we don't need hysteria and and saying things before you know what the facts are.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason we wanted to make sure we brought it up, and again, it's a week old, but for us it happened literally right after we did the show, so
we could talk to him.
But is the reaction, the bomb itself was not that terrible. I mean, it's terrible there was a bomb, but it wasn't as terrible as it could have been.
Well, what's scary is it could have been if he had put it in a more populated area.
Or during the day.
See, that's the thing. 23rd, 6th Avenue, I don't want to give them any ideas, but 27th, on a Saturday night, I've been there. They're actually not desolate, but it doesn't right. have a lot of people traffic. Like, if you really wanted to be a douchebag about it, you'd go to Grand Central or something. Yeah.
But here's the other thing that Larry kind of alluded to, but really I want to expand on. Not only was Drumpf automatically calling for bans on Muslims and all this shit that he typically does, he also immediately started stumping for restriction of the First Amendment. His response was, well, we got to shut down the internet because, you know, they have sites that tell you how to build these bombs. We got to shut down the newspapers because they're the ones that give them ideas, you know, and I shouldn't have to answer questions of reporters in these situations. You know what? This is why when pro-Republican numbnuts rubes give me shit about electing Hillary, okay?
Yeah.
This is the response I give all of you, you dumb fucks. This petty dictator's first response in the face of a crisis is to politicize and call for the restriction of liberty.
Right. To do the most un-American thing that there is. That this is your response, like to go after things like on and you know, then he started going on about the extreme vetting. The fuck does that even mean?
Okay.
You know, anybody can lie when you're vetting them for that, whether it's extreme or not.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You're gonna waterboard them while you do it? I mean, it's kind of stupid. But you know, you're absolutely right. What kind of response is that? You know, and for the same people who send us tweets and shit, I mean, I've seen, but. You know, do me a favor, and I mentioned this like a week or two ago. Stop comparing him to Ronald Reagan, right?
Please.
Was Ronald Reagan a wall builder? Was Ronald Reagan a guy whose answer to something would be, well, you need less freedom. You need less liberty. You need less your rights. You need, you fuck Miranda and getting warrants. I mean, was that who he was? Where are you making these associations? It's unbelievable. Let me tell you.
Just because they both said make America great again?
Yeah.
That's the reason why?
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you something. These people have nothing to do with Ronald Reagan. He was great. I campaigned for him in 80 when I was 17 years old. It was a one-off. It was a one-off of greatness. That's it. It's been kind of downhill since then. I give Clinton a decent grade.
So you have to...
Stop associating him with stupid Trump.
Yeah, and like, you can't start thinking... You can't be a fucking rube. And speaking of rubes, an extreme disappointment regarding this, just as we turned on the cameras, fucking Ted Cruz, who I thought had at least a little bit of integrity when he told people at the Republican National Convention...
I told you.
Not to vote for Trump when he refused to endorse him today.
Yeah. Mr. Vote Your Conscience.
Like, he technically, and the endorsement itself was this half-hearted, left-handed sort of endorsement where he said, "But I'm endorsing the Republican nominee for president, the Republican candidate."
But
I don't think
he
mentioned
it
by name, though, right?
No, he said, I will be voting for Donald Trump. But look at the way he did this. So bitter and so nasty. Then he said all those horrible things after he dropped out. Then he went to the convention, but he didn't endorse him. He made that whole speech about vote your kind. He actually got booed by some of the Republicans on the floor.
And that's what really applauded him, by the way.
But I've always been telling John, you said he was like a real conservative. I was like, this guy's so full of shit. And like, here it is. So now, after all this, after going to the convention, actually, and not endorsing him there and saying vote your conscience and all this bullshit, now he comes out and supports him. Why? He's not going to get a job with Trump if Trump wins. So I have no idea why.
Well, he said in his
statement, he said that he's keeping his word to back the Republican nominee. But he actually didn't do that when he was supposed to do it. When he was asked back right before he dropped out of the race, and he made it sound like no way am I going to do it.
Well, that and the fact that he said in his statement that he just doesn't want Hillary to win.
Yeah.
So. Maybe, I'm not trying to justify this because it's a shitstorm for him regardless, but maybe he just was waiting to see if Johnson would get any traction before endorsing him. And he's falling into that fucking loser mentality of saying, well, if Johnson can't win, I'm not going to vote for him. And, you know, we keep saying it, you'll never get the change you want. This is the cycle for change, okay? Because you have two candidates that are disliked by more people than like them. Think about that.
Right.
Both of these candidates, even among their supporters, have less than 50% support amongst their supporters. Yeah. Okay?
Her negatives have now matched his. His were always 4 or 5 points worse. I saw something like a few weeks ago, like two, before last week's show, 52% negative for her, 56 for him. Now I saw one today, they're both at 55. But still more than half the country thinks they're a piece of shit. Then you take, like John said, at least half the Trump people are voting for because they hate Hillary. Half the Hillary people are voting because they hate Trump.
So to those people, I honestly say this is on you. You get what you deserve when you follow that stupid mantra of, well, Johnson can't win, Stein can't win.
Yeah, you're throwing your vote away.
You're throwing your vote away.
That's the argument.
That is producing this constant cycle. And for God's sake, if you're a Republican or a Democrat, can you stop telling me that this is the most important election ever?
Oh, come on.
Can you stop that shit?
Every election is the most important.
I just saw something, commercial that all these celebrities made for Clinton. This is the most important election ever. I'm with her. If you vote for this, Mark Ruffalo will do a nude scene. You know, like they were trying to be, ha-ha, we're funny, you know. And then I said to myself, let me see. Do you realize that in, what was it, 2008, I think, the same celebrities did the same type of promotion for Obama, saying it was the most important election ever. You can't have, John McCain and Sarah Palin, and this is the most important thing ever, and we pledge to serve. This was the actual campaign slogan for Obama. We pledge to serve. The same dopey cunts that said that for Obama, Scarlett Johansson, what's her face, Susan Sarandon, all these like stupid fucking celebrities are now saying the same thing about Hillary Clinton. First of all, who do you think Obama was running against in 2000?
Right.
In the primaries. The bitch you think is so important she has to get elected now. And then the second thing that occurred to me, Larry, if you had taken that video where they all pledged to serve, that was the exact phraseology, we pledged to serve, okay?
Yeah.
If you had, instead of saying we pledged to serve Obama, if you had substituted that and put in Il Duce and said it in Italian, really, would it have been different than what happened right before World War II? Or if you put, we pledged to serve Adolf Hitler and said it in German, would it be any different than what the Hitler Youth was forced to do in 1938 or 36? Honestly, you fucking liberals, I don't understand why you think you're liberals and why you think you're so progressive when you're clear intent. It's like you're not even being duped anymore. You are flat out urging people to serve a person as if they were a regal king or queen.
And a lot of it is just motivated on how they feel about the other person. But what you said about 2008, that's absolutely true. But it was worse. If you remember 2004, when Bush was running for re-election, John Kerry was the nominee. Oh, my God. That's when they started Vote or Die.
Yeah.
Remember Vote or Die? That was 2004. And what did they say? There was a commercial. I saw it at like 12 different celebrities in. Got a vote. We got to get this guy Bush out or, you know, it's fucking Armageddon. This is it. Like, it's the end of the world. And here we are. And I hate to say, even though they both suck my ass, if they get elected, we'll be here fine in 2020 and 2024.
Probably.
Well.
We'll be less free.
There'll be the negatives. But, I mean, in terms of, like, is it the apocalypse? I doubt it.
It's we'll be less free.
Yeah.
We'll have less money in our pockets because both those douchebags plan on increasing the debt and raising taxes.
Yeah, I don't see any good economic future. And I don't see anything good on the foreign policy front. Probably, you know, socialism, who cares? But I mean,
you fucking douchebags, like George Carlin said, I'm voting for Gary Johnson, Larry's voting for Gary Johnson. If Clinton or Trump wins, don't blame us. Don't blame us.
Yeah.
Right? Because we didn't vote for either of those cocksuckers.
Yeah, I told John, he was mentioning de Blasio, but I actually have a shirt at home. Nobody remembers him at this point, but the guy who ran against de Blasio was a guy named Loda. Mm-hmm. Joe Loda. I have a shirt that I got off the internet for like $5 that said, don't blame me, I voted for Loda.
Right.
And I'm not kidding about it. I voted for Loda. He only got 29% of the vote, or 21%. And, you know, he got blown out by de Blasio. Look at this fucking idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. So let me tell you something. If you vote for these people,
You are responsible.
It is responsible. Well, you're here telling me, you're telling us that we're throwing our boats away. I've heard that enough time to make my fucking ears fall off. Okay, we're throwing our boats away. Well, you know what? You are affirming these people, and one person has no competence whatsoever and is just a statist asshole. And the other one is a power-hungry nut. She's just been waiting and waiting and waiting to run for president.
And it's also a statist asshole.
Yeah, there's another statist. But I got to tell you, I actually think if she loses, she might lose her mind. Quick little tangent on that. Did you see her response yesterday? She can't believe she's like running even on unions.
Yeah.
Did you see her thing? I can't. She with this really angry face. You could see she wanted to scream. Hillary Clinton goes, "I can't believe I'm not ahead by 50 points." Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, I can believe it. Because you suck, and even a loser like Trump can actually pull even with you. And now, of course, more frightening, it says that he's like slightly ahead in Nevada, North Carolina, and like Ohio.
It's one of these things that you just sit there and shake your head.
Yeah.
I
and they're going to get the overwhelming vast majority of the votes.
And I sound like one of those hippies from when we were kids who couldn't believe that Nixon got elected or whatever. But I got to tell you, it's like, if you're a Republican, of which I'm sure there's dwindling numbers as we speak, You have to sit here and think about the opportunity that just flew out the window. Here you have a Democratic liberal cunt that can't get out of her own way.
Right.
And the best you can do is put up another Democrat like fucking Trump. The best you can do is put up a racist cocksucker moron like Trump. Even that idiot Cruz would be winning by 12 points right now.
Yeah.
And talk about, when I hear one of you idiots tell me about we're going to lose the Supreme Court, guess what? You've lost it already.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for the results of the election. You've lost it already.
Yeah.
Okay? Because there is no evidence that Trump is going to put another Scalia or three on the court.
Yeah.
It's more likely that he's going to put idiots like his sister on the court, who's a federal judge, and, like most drunks, a stupid cunt. Go read her decisions.
I mean, there's a chance that to placate conservatives, he might put conservatives.
Why?
But he's a Republican. He's going to get, it's a layup. It's a way for him to cement his being with them. You know, if you're a Republican in Congress or you're in the Senate or in the House, yeah, it's a good way to get in with people. You give them a list of like five guys, any knob or five women.
By the way,
and you pick one, but you're definitely not going to get it with Hillary. She's going to put on these left wing. Like, let me tell you something. The guy that Obama just put up a few months ago,
Merrick Garland.
Oh yeah, here's this guy. He's going nowhere. He's not going to get picked. But he's like a kind of moderate guy. You're not even going to get that from Hillary Clinton. I can tell you right now. So,
and here's the other thing you have to keep in mind. Even if Drumpf gets elected, all the projections right now are that the Republicans will likely lose the Senate, and have their majority cut into severely in the House.
Yeah.
Okay? That's even if the redneck rubes are enough to put Drumpf over the top. Okay? So when you're talking about Drumpf, what does he always say? Deals. I do deals. He doesn't even give a fuck what the deals are as long as they're deals. As like, for example, the four deals he's already cut with Russia, where he's trademarked his own brand in Russia for when he becomes president. So the phrase President Drumpf is going to be trademarked in Russia. Think about that for a second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that idiot, you think he's going to stick to conservative judges when the Senate is going to be Democratic? And the House is going to be slipping away from the Republicans?
Yeah.
You think he'll really put up another Scalia, a hardcore constitutionalist? Or do you think he's going to put up the guy that might be able to cut him a deal against NAFTA or something, or TPP?
Yeah.
What do you think is more likely? You fucking rubes. There's a reason why all the polls say the strongest demographic for Drumpf is uneducated white rednecks. And by the way, that's the word they use. Uneducated white rednecks.
You mean they're a basket of deplorables?
Yes, they are.
Let me tell you something. And
fucking are.
And the Clinton supporters are a bucket of ignorance.
Yeah.
These are the stupid. How do you vote for this fucking woman?
Like, do you realize there's a whole class of people that think they have no real choice. Like, all the educated Republicans, or I should say, all the educated, college-educated white voters, male and female, who used to vote Republican, like, the way black guys vote for Democrats, okay? Because that's been the trend for the last 50, 60 years. This is the first year that they are not clearly voting Republican. For the first time in 50, 60 years.
I gotta give her credit. Stupid Hillary, she actually has a good commercial for her campaign. She was smart enough to keep herself out of it. It's just the running montage of all Republicans, senators, all culture. I can't support Trump. I'm not voting for Trump. I just can't in good conscience vote for Trump. Senators, Congress. Well, you know, like how we did the list a few weeks ago? They actually, I don't know if she got the idea from us, but she's got a commercial with just each one of them going, I can't vote for that. That's why Cruz supporting him just...
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. I thought it was extremely funny, but I like what you said about Trump and Russia and Trump. And now we've got the thing with Trump using the charity to pay for... Now, excuse me, you Republicans, morons who are voting for this douche. Okay, listen to this breakdown of how he's been paying.
So you know how the one thing that you always agree with is this Clinton Foundation is pretty shaky, and it does appear to be pay for play. And if you're a foreign dignitary, you just drop a couple of million on the foundation. About half of it ends up in the pockets of Bill and Hillary, probably.
And you get,
what you want, right? Well, guess what? Trump's is even worse. At least the Clinton Foundation, for all its bribery and whatever, allegedly, at least they try to do some good with at least half the money, I think. You know, like, they at least actually donated to a few charities. Not only has Trump, you know how he goes around saying he's a big supporter of military charities and veterans charities, not only has that money, there's no proof of that money that he claims, millions of dollars, there's zero proof that any of that shit has ever made it to those veterans charities. Right. Zero, all right? So he's lying about that.
You know where it went?
Well, here's the other thing. Then the Trump Foundation itself, now that he's, like, running for president, this is why, listen, you fucking rube, I can't even finish this thought. You fucking rubes. This is why he's never released his tax information.
Of course.
This is why he's never released his financials. Because all of this shit is so easy to pick up. I think, like, two reporters spent a grand total of half an hour looking at the Trump Foundation. He takes money from you rubes under the guise of it being for charity, and he sends that half-dyke wife of his on $80,000 vacations around the world.
Nice.
By the way, I'm not making that up. I don't have to say allegedly.
That's right. And the I forgot the reporter's name, but he works for the Washington Post. He's the one who uncovered all this, that he's taking the money, and like...
It's his own checking account.
Yeah, basically. It's almost, you know how, like, you might use a debit card?
He is literally using that for shit that is, like, his personal gain. And they said, well, and I can see some of you rubes out there, like, well, you know, if he runs the campaign, he deserves to get paid. Fair enough. How come none of it's ever been disclosed?
Right.
So every charity, what is it, a Form 99, I think, is the technical charity thing? It says on there, here's the director, this is how much he gets paid.
Right.
This is his vice director. That's what they get. All right? None of those show Trump on any of them. But he's pulling down $150K, $500K, whatever the amounts were. For, you know. And you rubes still defend him. And by the way, none of that shit has ever reached truly needy. Like I said, what the Clintons do with their foundation, allegedly, is deplorable.
Right.
It's deplorable.
But at least there's something.
Something is making its way to poor kids
or those
water charities.
It would be like if I gave you $100 in tens, and they took three of them. And went, all right, here's 70 for the charity. Here's another. All right, here's 60. And here's 40 for the, like. In other words,
something.
There's some going in the old back poke, but
you know,
there's still something going on to like some starving.
You know,
kids
like what happens with UNICEF? They keep half the money. The warlord the country is run by keeps the other half.
Yeah.
And maybe 10% reaches the poor people.
Right. But at least 10%.
But at least the 10%. Trump isn't even going. He's not even bothering with that.
Right.
He's not even putting up that pretense. Okay. So this fucking you fucking rubes. And by the way, it's also been proven. It's also been proven that A lot of the contributions that you rubes are making to his self-funded campaign, about $8 million of it is ending up in companies that he owns.
Right.
So it goes to his limousine company to drive himself around.
It's not a real campaign.
Right.
He doesn't have offices like in every state. He's just doing it because he gets to be on TV shows.
He pays himself rent.
Right.
And he jacked up his own rent 3 times since March. In Trump Towers.
It's actually very clever. But it's bullshit. And this is the person you're voting for president. The only thing this is why I don't want John to get nuts about the Rubin. Because we know we're not getting through it. Like, they're just all in on this asshole. The wall, the banning the filthy Muslims in their opinion. You know, all that stuff. They're all in it. They think he's going to blow up the system and get it to work.
That's the part that I even find more hilarious. What system is he blowing up?
Yeah.
All he's doing is he's making sure that the people in Washington don't abuse the system. Right. He wants to be the only one abusing the system.
He's going
to
be like a personal... He's going to be like an individualized eminent domain.
The fucking Fed will be his own checking account if he becomes president.
And as far as being able to deal with... it's nice that he likes Putin. I mean, what's going to happen when... I mean, think about it. What's going to happen when if he has to meet, like, the Iranian mullahs? What's he just going to do? Say, like, well, they're monkeys? Are they smelly?
We know what he's going to do. He's going to do the same thing that he did with the president of Mexico, which you fucking rubes seem to ignore. For someone who's tough and straight-talking and tells you what's on his mind, he went and kissed the guy's ass over there.
Yeah.
Was perfectly gentlemanly.
He didn't even talk about who's going to pay for it or anything. Then... As soon as if this was the board, then he flies over and he's back in Phoenix. They're building the fucking wall.
Those spick-ass
wetbacks. It just got 10 feet higher, which is my favorite thing, because he didn't tell us how tall it's going to be in the first place. So fuck you, you orange asshole. It's the craziest thing. And Hillary, you're a fucking cunt. You know why? You know what? Because you actually should be ahead by 50 points. It goes to show you what a horrible candidate you are. Lying about your pneumonia, lying about Benghazi, lying about the emails. It doesn't fucking end. And meanwhile, John and I are throwing our votes out.
Yeah. I still cannot understand the logic. I've had good friends of mine, since college, Larry, who have called me up or hit me up on Facebook or Twitter with that whole thing. John, how can you throw your vote away? Gary Johnson is a fringe lunatic. He's a drug-addled libertarian. Or my favorite, he's not a real libertarian. Listen, you dumb fucks. I've said this over and over again. On the one hand, you've got a pathological lying cunt who may have murdered people for all we know, thinks she's above the law, thinks the Constitution only applies, to the restrictions of other people, doesn't apply to her.
Well, that's plebeians.
Right? You've got that on one end. Right. You've got a never having elected, been held... any sort of elected office, never been elected even dog catcher, failed businessman, and I keep saying this because most of you think he's some genius builder businessman. He hasn't built shit. He's failed at more businesses than he succeeded at.
He's filed for personal bankruptcy four times.
He's just walked away from businesses and let them fail at least two dozen.
He's been in court.
Right, he's been sued. His Trump University is a fraudulent enterprise. He's a fucking criminal, basically, in my opinion. Okay?
The stakes went nowhere. The UFL went nowhere.
That guy and that cunt. And then you look at a two-term Republican governor who balanced budgets. We'll say it over and over again. Balanced budgets, supported the First Amendment, literally protected the right to bear arms in New Mexico against an adversarial state government. Something Trump says he'll do? That's the other one I like you rednecks. He'll protect my gun rights. Fuck you. What's he going to protect? What's he ever proven that he's going to protect? Right. Gary Johnson has actually stood up for your right to bear arms as a governor.
Even the bottom of the ticket. Bill Weld is more qualified than Trump or fucking Hillary. Please.
And somehow you guys have the nerve, the temerity to talk to us about Johnson being a flake, to talk to us about Johnson being too goofy looking, that he talks funny.
Take a good look at who you're voting for.
Well, Jesus Christ, I don't understand how I've said this before. If you just say to yourself, we love being told what to do. That's what rubes love. We love being told what to do.
No lemons.
We love having a big government that'll protect us and feed us and take care of us.
And keep out farmers.
Oh, and keep out the fucking sand niggers and the spicks. That'll be awesome. Right? If you just admit that, at least be honest with yourself. You might still be a rube, but at least you'll get into heaven for being honest, okay? When you pretend to know what a libertarian is and you try to instruct us that Johnson's not a real libertarian, when you're voting for someone who calls himself a Democrat from Queens as a Republican, you have the balls to tell me Johnson isn't a real libertarian? You have the balls to tell me that you think Johnson should be disqualified because he didn't know where Aleppo was when you fucking guys couldn't pick out France on a map? Seriously? There's a reason the average educational level of a drumfroob is 7th grade. There's a reason for that, because you're fucking idiots.
Oh, and of course, what started all this? He's the ultimate outsider.
Yes.
You forgot that.
I forgot that part.
That's right, Donald Trump. My head's about to
explode.
This drives me nuts. Why is he an outsider? Because he's never been elected to office? All that means he has no experience, you assholes.
Means is he's been working the system from the outside.
He's trying to become president. But you know what it is? It'd be like somebody who finished college and like maybe have a degree in journalism. Okay, make me editor-in-chief of the New York Times. he's going like right to the top.
I wouldn't even go that far.
Yeah. No, but I mean, as point of analogy.
Oh, wait. Let's come up with an analogy that a rube would understand.
Okay, it would be like he just got out of Starfleet Command, and he wants to be the head of the Enterprise.
Even that's too much for him. Let's see. Can we come up with an analogy for rubes? Oh, okay. Let's say you want to fuck your sister, but you haven't even fucked your cousin yet. That's what Drumpf is trying to do. That's see, right. I put it in terms that even rubes could understand now.
Yeah, you know what it would be like?
It's
like you're watching a rerun of Hee Haw, and he refuses to stand up behind the corner and make a jump.
Yeah. No matter how many times you watch it, that last play of the Super Bowl ain't going to change. Fucking rubes.
I got to tell you, okay, so we're winding down here.
Yeah.
Is there anything, what is out there that is...
I don't know, I'm too worked up.
I know, that's just it. I'm trying to think of something that'll work you down a little bit that we can just quickly talk about. But this campaign has been... But you know what? Look, I know it's going to be shit, but Monday night, watch the debates. Because we're going to talk about it next week. And I do know this. There will be some fireworks. There'll be something, but...
It depends. Now, here's the other thing. Gary Johnson has promised that he will have some sort of concurrent system, whether it's on Facebook Live or on Periscope or something. He's going to use some form of social media, so keep your eyes open for it. Go to Gary Johnson's website or go to his Facebook page. He has promised to basically be answering the same questions that are posed to the candidates... to Clinton and Drumpf, he is promising to answer them in real time as if he were at the debate.
Right.
So you will get a chance to listen to those idiots talk, and you'll get a chance to also listen to Johnson's responses. Let me urge you to do that at least, okay? At least try to have an open mind. I know you rubes find that impossible, right? Just like...
The Hillary supporters are no better.
The Hillary supporters are no better.
Stream it, will you? If you want to do that, do something. At least listen to something other than these two. Because here's a prediction. At some point, there's going to be a breakdown in the format, and they're going to start like talking over each other and calling each other like stupid names, and she's going to be very shrill, and I have a feeling he might say something that's a little out of line, because that's his thing.
Let's take bets on whether he's going to slip, and instead of saying crooked Hillary, he says crooked Hillary.
Yeah, because I've been hearing all these different theories about who's been... Because, you know, when you prepare for a debate, you get somebody to... Somebody stands in as Hillary. If you're Hillary, somebody stands in as Trump. Now, that's not too hard, because you can find any moron anyway. But for Hillary, I don't know who he's using. Maybe Ivanka, who he wants to bank. Oh, but it's a little strange. But you know what? I know there'll be fireworks. At some point, something crazy is going to happen. But it's a good thing that you mentioned, because I actually forgot about that. You know, the Gary Johnson, listen to it. Forget fucking Aleppo, for God's sakes. The other two have said far worse things to disqualify themselves. But meanwhile, I mean, that was disgusting, the disqualifier. So you know what? Give him some attention. Would you please? Even, you know what? Even fucking Jill Stein. Listen to her. At least open your mind to something else other than Trump and
But Gary Johnson said, on all 50 state ballots.
Yeah.
And actually, I think Trump is not officially on the Minnesota state ballot yet. I could be wrong. But on one state ballot, they're going to court because he may have violated a technicality in filing.
Oh, okay.
So some liberals in whatever, I think it's Minnesota, but I could be wrong, are actually filing suit to get him off the ballot in their state because he failed on some arcane technicality. Not Trump himself, his people, of course, but...
Yeah. I know what it was. I'm sorry. Very quickly.
Very quickly.
A woman who was working as a volunteer, but as like a campaign manager somewhere in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about this? Yeah. She said, before Barack Obama became president, there was no racism. We didn't have these problems until this fucking idiot got into office. And something about she worked in, like, in real estate, and she's never seen this before.
Until
Obama got elected. Now, here it is. Here's another Trump support. Now, they did the right thing. She said she was sorry. They fired her. They got rid of her right away. They get away with the fact that she was a volunteer. But here's the typical...
Like I said, uneducated rubes.
Yeah.
Uneducated rubes. And that's his largest base. 35% of his base is uneducated white guys. So...
Well, this was a woman.
Same thing.
Yeah, the white trash out there is just too stupid to be human.
So, anyway, on that note, sadly, Trump is still running for president and he's still alive.
This guy's still running.
Clinton hasn't dropped dead yet. So there's been no good news.
And if she did, she'd lie about it. So.
Anyway.
You people are throwing your bones out. Fuck you.
Vote Johnson.
Feel the Johnson.
And by that, I mean vote for my dick. Then vote for Gary. All right. Until next week, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
Peace, baby.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.